Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. We have an exciting episode today, Chad. Really exciting. I have a guest in studio. Actually, the first time I've met this guest, face to face. We've texted, but we've never actually met, which is kind of weird. And I'll explain later in the podcast why that's a little bit odd. But I know you're prepared for this episode, Chad. I know you're excited about this episode. I can see it all written all over your face because you're reliving your what you thought you could be in your early days. And you thought, man, I'm going to be a gymnast. That's what you thought, right? The floor routine was actually the one you really wanted to specialize in.
I can barely skip, much less flip around on bar and do all the crazy stuff that they do. I love watching it. Not an active participant.
Hey, those limiting beliefs are why you can't do it, buddy. Yeah. Okay. That's half the problem.
Yeah. I do have a good story though. So, I was in eighth grade and they would get all the Catholic grade schools together and you would do this like academic competition. Well, the last event is what they call super quiz. And each school gets two eighth grade, or there's teams of two, you get two teams. And the year that I was in eighth grade, the theme or whatever was Olympics. And I'm sitting there with my partner and we have to get the last question right to win. And the last question is, I can't remember which way it went, but it was which one of these answers are all of the men's gymnastics events? And I was like, I've watched the Olympics for days. That's the answer. He's like, do you think we should take some time to talk about it? I go, no, absolutely not. That is the answer. And we ended up winning. Great story. I'm
pumped. Eighth grade champs.
That's right. Watch out. Stick up my medal.
Well, that's great because we have a gymnastics icon in here, I'm excited to talk about icon, buddy. I'm giving it to you. You're gonna get this one, a good one here. But we have Coach. I'm gonna give you the respect due. Coach Chris Sommer, legend in the gymnastics world. Okay, nearly 40 years ish. I don't want to date you, man, but nearly 40 years of coaching U.S. Junior, National Olympic, gymnasts, men. Was it men's?
Men. I did a little bit of prep for Carly in 2004, but she ended up ninth at trials.
Okay,
she didn't quite, but she looked good.
Well, so this is going to be a fun one because people are like, well, what the hell does gymnastics have to do with running a business? And I bet you it's more than they might think.
100%. I was surprised. So maybe mid 15, 16, something. I did a Tim Ferriss episode.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was amazed how many people reached out.
It's the number one business podcast on Apple for like, I don't remember, did Tim Ferriss. If you haven't listened to it, it's an awesome show. My wife listens to it.
Yeah, Tim's a good guy. That was, I think whether it's sport, whether it's business, whether it's arts, high level, they all think the same. They problem solve the same.
Yeah, I think I have some really good questions that are going to translate well for our listeners. Because like I told you ahead of time, these are a lot of home services companies, owners, leaders, managers, like all kinds of people who might want to become owners, private equity companies trying to buy, the company's kind of a mixture. I read your Sports Illustrated article that you'd done. I don't remember how long ago it was, but I read through the SI article.
It came out. Yeah, it was a podcast with John Wellborn. Yes. NFL vet.
I read it. So I was just reading through the notes on it. And I was able to take away some things, which is actually helpful for this podcast because some of the things I wanted to talk about, it translated well. Like you were kind of touching on it in that episode. But you also founded a company called Gymnastic Bodies, which is a gymnastic strength training system designed to make the elite level training accessible to like non-gymnasts, right? It's okay, which is interesting. I'm really curious about that, how you're taking the non-gymnast and creating an elite level gymnast or trying to create that.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So we'll say maybe it's for your non-competitive athlete.
Okay. They just love it.
So my concern, like my last athlete, Alan, I trained from 6 to 18. And when he was 6, my big concern was, what will I have overlooked when he's 18, right? When he's going into Olympic trials, what's going to break?
You're thinking this at 6?
100%.
At 6 years old?
Sure. So he was probably my, depends how you break him up, but he was my fifth or sixth generation of athlete by then. You know, so I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I know what I'm looking for. And it's just that slow, steady grind. And so there's a lot of physical prep I do to prepare a structure. Same thing we use with our spec op guys we work with and all that. And takes time. Takes time. So what normally happens, so one of your questions I liked is, how do you get people to change their mindset from 3 to 5 months at a time to 3 to 5 years? And it's simple. I don't have to change their mind. If they don't change it on their own, they're going to fail. I mean, it's just nature's law, right? Anybody who's just focusing on that next step in front of them is not going to get where they're trying to go, right? Because some things just, they take a long time to build.
Yeah, and you have to have patience. Yeah, patience. To be able to build something like that. I mean, the fact you're thinking about that at 6 is pretty cool, but having been down this path.
Chris, my question would be, I mean, obviously you see these sports where you have like these, you know, generational talents and stuff like that. And
sure.
I feel like the Olympic sports are ones where like, you know, they train for so long and so on and so forth. I guess from your perspective, like, how do you identify? Because I'm guessing, just throwing it out there, I'm guessing the mental side of being able to compete, being able to hold your focus for that many years and all of that stuff, like there's a big mental component. How do you identify that, or how do you train that in such a young person?
Can't train it. It's kind of like one of my best friends is, and I have a lot of friends, is spec ops and SEALs. And you don't develop a SEAL. You're born a SEAL, right? That it's not like everyone talks about BUDS.
Yep.
BUDS is about last man standing. It's, I tease them as it is. They're trying to find the guy who's too dumb to quit.
That's when you got to ring the bell, right?
Yeah.
On BUDS, right?
You're going to ring the bell. You're looking for someone that just has grit. And I can't give someone grit. I can't give someone talent. But what I can do is identify that talent and then develop it. So like Alan, we added him up one time. I had over 16,000 hours in training him, you know, with me personally hands-on. And so, but maybe the closest we're seeing right now in other sports is wrestling right now in the U.S., where we're seeing a lot of club wrestling.
Yep.
And you're getting guys who are world and Olympic team members who are opening these clubs and starting little dudes from the beginning. So you've got someone at my level, but in something other than gymnastics, doing everything right from the beginning. Whereas I'll get pro athletes who come in, football, hockey. I've got a pitcher right now. And it just kind of came up through the rec system, you know, junior high, yeah. High. Some college, and it was just kind of who was going to be a volunteer. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not, probably they're not. And it was kind of what you were saying. They were genetic freaks, they were gifted, and they survived despite bad prep. And now you're seeing with wrestling someone who's being selected for talent and trained well from the beginning with my approach of 3-5 year blocks. You know, and then you're seeing, we just saw a high school kid take out an Olympian just like a month ago here in the U.S. And it's becoming more common simply because now, before, you had to get to the Olympic level in order to have access to a coach at my level. And now you're getting people who can have access to that level of coaching at a young age. with no mistakes. So a lot of what happens with these athletes is you get a guy who means well, but he goes down the wrong road. Wrong exercises, wrong prep. He's rushing. There's no foundation. There's no basics. It's the difference between basketball here in the States and basketball in Eastern Europe, where our coaches want him to play 5-6 days a week, practice basics one day a week. And in Europe, it's exactly the opposite. They're like, why are you rushing to compete now? You know, you have things you need to take care of. And I found that approach translates, just to bring it back where we are, I found that approach translates to business well. Because when I started GB early 2000s, right? Who knows? I'd never done business. I'd been intelligence analyst for a national security agency, Mandarin linguist on there, went into coaching. That was going well, and then segueing into business. And one of my mentors was like, and I'm a little overwhelmed, right? And he's like, approach it the same way you would developing an athlete for national team. And that just clicked in my head, right? That's easy. What are the basics? Grind them out. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not trying to get somewhere. I'm not looking for a magic bullet, right? I'm not looking for a secret technique, you know, which is what I find most people who are in that 3 to 5 month time frame, they're looking for an edge, a supplement. They're basically trying to cheat time. And you can't
shortcut.
Yeah, there's no shortcut. And so, you know, you've got to be in it for the long haul. And the people, I kind of like that though, because the people who are serious are going to stay the course. And it's harsh, but the wannabes, they're going to fall by the wayside. And that's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. That's how you separate the wheat from the chaff. I mean, the Olympics is not a participation award. You know, and business isn't either.
I bet I like that. I didn't find you to be a participation award fan. Well, to our listeners also, what's cool, I didn't mention right in the beginning, is Chris is also actually my neighbor. And though we and I have, you know, texted back and forth, we've ever actually met. So this is like the first time face-to-face that we're meeting, which is pretty cool. But now I know I have this access that's right across the road from me.
House of Pain's up on the hill.
Right up on the hill. It's Chad, you know what house he's in is, you know, when you or the lot that I'm building the house, it's the big one, like right next to it, the big multi-story one. You can't miss it. When you're looking out the backyard, you see his big ass house. Awesome. So we literally look, our backyards look at each other.
No, I don't want you. I don't want you. I fear that the next time I'll be coming, you're going to be out there doing gymnastics, getting hurt or something like that out in the street.
We broke all the.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on Blue-on for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from Blue-on's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. Blue-on's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
The technical gymnastics out. We just do the physical prep for clients. And so, you know, interested in joint prep. So I didn't realize that therapists around the world were using my stuff. So I started getting notes. That's how I had SEAL Team 6 reach out years ago. Because one of the operator's brothers had chronically damaged back. And they're just like, you know, too bad, tough. You're gonna be in a cane later. It's how it is. And came across my stuff, and a year later, he was better. And so one of the operators reached out through some other people, some mutual friends. He's like, you know, we're beat to pieces. But you know, as a national team coach, hopefully the same with business. I'm kind of not looking for everyday solutions, because if I do what everybody else is doing, I'm going to get what everybody else gets, right? We're looking for Well, one, it starts with vision. What am I aiming for? And then I want to know who's the best. Who's the best in this space? Right? I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. I want to find out who's the stud. I want to break it down as much as an old intelligence analyst, right? So I want to break it down as much as possible. And that's going to be my starting point. Master their skills, move on from there. But I'm not going to be presumptuous enough to take someone who's best in the world and think, well, I know better. Otherwise, I'd be the best. So, yeah, I just use that approach with everything. And it's worked out well for us.
So you coach, I mean, you've coached athletes to Olympic performances. Now, how are you building, like, because this is completely, you can attribute this to business. You got to have discipline. You got to have some consistency in what you're doing, you know, like all these things. But how do you build the discipline and that consistency in someone from like the ground up? Because I think it was on the Sports Illustrated episode that I read. You were talking about how somebody can come in just naturally gifted, strong, smart, all these things, but still might not be end up being the best.
They always drop out. Always. Every time.
But so what are you doing then to build like that discipline and consistency in someone like from the ground up? Are you are planning it?
I'm initially the will, because I'm just relentless, you know. So I'd had surgery years ago, and I was back like the next day or two in the gym coaching, hunched over, couldn't sit up, sitting on some stupid chair. Was that couple of days of training gonna matter? No. Was it ignorant? 100%. Right? But that's also that drive that's necessary, especially initially in your career. You know, there's just, once you start making an excuse, that first excuse is hard. It's hard. You're like, And then that second excuse, well, it's a little easier. So I just don't make excuses.
Yep. I think everything I read is you don't sugarcoat anything. You're sharp, direct, zero patience for fluff, like no nonsense type guy. Like it's black and white.
Well, it should be. You know, you're either you did your best or you didn't. You know, almost your best is not your best. It's not. Now, it doesn't mean I don't recognize it's better. Business, sport, prep, it doesn't matter. Better is good. But if it isn't great yet, I'm never going to say it's great. Not ever. And some people, the best way I described it to Tim was, think of it as world-class talent married to a blue-collar work. Because Tim was frustrated, you know, Tim, so it's Tim Ferriss, right? He, I don't know, somewhere in the mid-teens sends me a note, and it's Tim. So it's a huge business opportunity. And he reached out through a friend. He's like, what can I do in 30 days? And I've got my staff around a table. It's like, I said, you know, guys, I can't do it. I can't. There's nothing I can do in 30 days. I just can't. Like, it kills me, but I got to tell him. And that's what I told him. You know, I was expecting to hear, well, you know, screw you. And instead, you know, Tim came back with, all right, well, what am I doing wrong? You know, and so now we've been friends and, goodness, coming up on almost 10 years now, which was, you know, completely, running into me was completely opposite of what Tim did in his life. Because he kind of went from project to project to project. And I'm here saying, nope. He's, it's kind of boring. I said, yep. Does it get more exciting? I said, nope. The lesson I wanted to teach Tim and that we teach our athletes is the end goal matters. The end goal matters. So what you're doing to build out your business, it matters. But same as an Olympian, right? I know a lot of Olympians who are miserable, just miserable. They hate life. They hate life. They hate training. They hate their coach. All to get to what's basically a really fancy athletic competition. And then they've spent all their life building this, and it's done in 2 weeks. and now what? And they're despondent. And then we see athletes who should have pivoted to something else, and not because they love it, but they're going to go for another game because it's all they know, and their self-esteem, everything's tied up in that. And so what I wanted Tim to understand is pick your goal that you're looking for, but enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. You know, come in, do your best. And now, of course, I'm a son of a gun in the gym, right? So come in, do your best, but I want to see your best you're capable of right now, this turn, not next turn. And if you have to go again and again and again and again, reasonably, but give me your best. And what that does is, because they're exposed to this thousands and thousands of time over a long period of years, you get kids who they just understand. They understand. And so, and I don't, whether it was, I always leveraged it with the athletes. I wasn't building jocks, right? Because, you know, even if you become an Olympic gold medalist, you're going to retire someday. And the last thing the world needs is another knuckle-dragging jock running around reliving the glory days. You know, who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? And so what I taught the young men is that, you know, we're building gentlemen. We're building character. We're building perseverance. And as I got better at producing that in my athletes, I've got a slew of doctors as former athletes, engineers. I mean, you name it. Right now, I've got another one who's went into anesthesiology at Duke. And I because we use gymnastics as a training tool, you know, it was for life, you know. And then, okay, now take, and we do the same thing with our spec ops guys, because they'll come out and they'll think all I'm good at is pulling a trigger. I said, no, you know how to be comfortably uncomfortable. You know how to master a wide range of skill sets. I can give you a new weapon system and you're going to take it apart, right? I said, just apply that in whatever else you're looking to do with that same character. And the same thing we saw Kobe Bryant do, right? He was 3 years before he was getting ready to retire, he had pivoted. And he had all those companies he invested in. He had his publishing house he was doing. He had his personal care products, whatever that sports drink was they had done. And it was funny listening to the billionaires that were mentoring him, because he would call them at like 3 a.m. Just question, question, question. And my mentors did the same thing when I was coming up. So,
because that's how he was training.
Just because it works.
So he'd already kind of built that in his autopilot. And so that was what he was like, okay, I see what you're saying. So it almost seems like when you're talking about the SEAL team guys, and you're relating this to businesses, you actually have like, I think you're this gift of being able to recognize people's talent beyond maybe what they even understand. So which is applicable to anything that you do, but you're trying to create and build this like a autopilot in this person to, no matter what the task, this is the job. This is what we do. These are the steps, and you do it at your best again and again. And so, which is everything that we do, right? Everything that we do. So you're, when I hear you, you know, when you talk about, you know, starting with someone when they're 6 years old, I mean, that to me, that seems so early. There's clearly something to that I don't understand, other than like, 'cause I'm not a psychologist but when I think about, you know, Mason, my son, it was 5 when he started at the Predator Wrestling Club. I cannot picture this little dude starting, you know, like that age on like a regiment, because he wouldn't even pay attention. Like I could barely get him to focus.
I don't crank on the little ones hard. So with the little one, what we're doing is we're teaching them to listen, we're teaching them to focus, play a lot of games. I teach them to compete. So everything is a game. Everything is a game. So some we would do with the little guys would be push-up wars, right? So I'd call out 2 athletes. They'd go down, I'd have 2 fists out, and I'd count them, right? I didn't care how many they got. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter to me in the slightest. And then whoever won stayed, loser went, and now a fresh guy comes up. So the guy who's left, I've made him hungry that he wants recognition for doing well. The guy who won is pumped, but now he's at a deficit because he's pre-exhausted. But he still wants to win. I ended up with kids that were doing 300 push-ups at a shot just because they were playing.
Chad, when's the last time you did 300 push-ups? Never?
I'm more concerned about this whole getting a six-year-old to listen. I have a six-year-old daughter, and I have not figured this one out.
It's harder as a parent.
Yeah.
But when they're in another environment mm-hmm. and they come. So, especially because boys, girls are different. Girls socially bond, and you get boys together, and they just want to wrestle and run around and bounce off walls. So it becomes a competition. So whoever did best, it's in the front of the line. Boys will do anything to be in the front of the line. They will do anything. Because that was something Greg did well. So I was the first gymnastics guy for CrossFit back in the day. And Greg did get that right, that even as adults, you know, men like to compete. You know, they want to, Greg didn't expect the whiteboard to be so effective. He didn't see that coming at all. It wasn't intentional. He just wrote shit on the board. And then, all right, you went and put it up, and people were killing themselves. And he's like, oh, all right, thank you.
Got something here. I'm gonna pivot just for a second. I want to stay on this like systems and discipline thing for just a second. But in some of my prep, you say no brain, no gain. No brain, no gain. So how are you applying that philosophy to creating systems or processes to drive performance? And can the business owner have that exact same mindset to build that business?
So no brain, no gain means, so what we're taught is no pain, no gain.
Right.
Right. And so what I'll tell athletes is I get pro athletes. I work with a lot of pro athletes comp. Just because I like to keep my hand in. You know, I enjoy that world. I enjoy that problem solving. But they're so broken from that attitude. They're just destroyed.
From the no pain, no gain?
Yeah. So if someone's a business owner, that business is their baby. They're nurturing it and they're watching it. And the problem with pro sports is that a lot of times the athletes are commodities and they're treated like a set of tires. So I've got an NFL guy right now I'm working with. He's retired, but he has the worst knee I've ever seen in my life. And he had come in, he'd been working, doing stuff for 2 years, and I'm supposed to be dead now. I had terminal cancer, right? So I stopped doing public events, and Michael just kept calling, and he just kept calling. Finally, after a couple of years, I'm like, dude, he's in Tucson. I was like, Just come up. You've earned the right to come up to the house. And we were going to do an hour. We did like 9 hours. It was a good time. But he had questions, and he was changing to go. We've got a gym at the house, and he was changing to train, and he took his warm-up pants off. I've never seen a knee this bad in my life, ever. And it affected his hip. It affected his back. It affected his shoulder. And he's like, Coach, I'm good. I do this. And dude, I need imagery, right? I is there anything there? So does that mean I can't train? I said, no, we'll work around it, but I need to know if us working on it's going to make it worse or not. And so, you know, he's gone. Some of it's pretty bad. I won't share all his stuff, but it's that I've got a picture the same. He got redrafted as a catcher. And then at training camp, they said, you're a pitcher. And they blew out his shoulder and they blew out his elbow.
That's quite a pivot.
Yeah. Well, he was the right phenotype, right? So he had the right length of arms. He had the right shoulder. He had the right height. He had the right mobility in the shoulder girdle. And so they just said, yep, you got the right tools, but they didn't know prep with him. None whatsoever. And in my world, that's criminal. That's criminal, but that's same with hockey players I work with, NHL guys.
What's the basis of what you're doing, right? Is creating that discipline, prep plan. And
I'm unusual. Like in America, I don't fit. I don't fit in America. I'm too methodical, but I fit in Russia, and I fit in China, and I fit in Japan. and I fit in Eastern Europe because they're methodical, right? They're methodical. We're going to do things. So, you know, Dmitry Belozerchev is a friend of mine. Won worlds at 16, you know, bunch of gold medals in 88. And he's grumpy like me. So we'd always be rooming together at Olympic Training Center. And, you know, when we got to talking, and Russians don't visit. Russians don't like to visit. You know, they certainly don't like to talk about training secrets. They don't like that.
So they don't talk about feelings either?
Well, no, they'd have no feelings when you meet them. They have none. But later on, when you become friends, you can't get them to shut up because they're just goofy. They're just goofy. But he started talking at maybe 7 or 8. And finally, I passed out at like 2 in the morning. I had my laptop on. I'm saying, and it was all just math. We're going to do this at this age. We're going to do this many reps. We're going to do these skills. We're going to do this prep. And what it does is, and it's the same in business, right? If someone's going to be a successful contractor, I would hope they're first technically proficient in what they're doing. Right? Yeah. But I see a lot of guys who are running into stuff before they're technically proficient. And then I see guys who are technically proficient but have failed to increase and improve their skill set. So, you know, and said, no, it doesn't work, guys. You got to keep moving. And so that's where, you know, our training that I had learned as a national team coach is I'm very comfortable. First, we establish what are the parameters of this world? Where are you starting? Just brutally honest. Where are you strong? Where are you weak? You know, if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. You know, as much as I'm capable of being sensitive, we'll be sensitive. Right. And then we'll try to establish where you'd like to go. We're going to establish what basics we need to address. And then you kind of let them go. And it kind of becomes, well, one, do they have the talent to make it work? Because there's nothing I can do if they don't have talent. And then two, do they have the drive and the character to make it work? Especially if you're an entrepreneur, because there's no boss telling you what to do. That's most people are suited to be employees. I know it pisses them off to hear it, but most of them have to be employees because they need someone to give them objectives. They need a schedule. They need due dates. And I ruined some really bright employees by trying to put them in executive positions. Because we're not a giant company, but we're reasonable, right? And so, you know, as an executive, I want to identify a problem and I want them to bring me solutions. I don't want to hold their hand. That's why they're paid to be executives. And a regular employee will have a nervous breakdown from that. I've had programmers who finished their project and I like the programmer and they're sharp. And I said, all right, your salary is going to stay exactly where it is right now. All you got to do is new maintenance on this. Your job now is to go find me nuggets. Couldn't take it.
Because there's no actual like direction. Like, what am I building? Now you're having to go and figure out.
Not even that. They came to me and they said, I need someone to tell me what to do. I need someone to check in on me. I need to have meetings. I need support. Because being an entrepreneur is effing lonely.
Yeah.
And not everyone's cut out for that.
So how are you correcting? Like, I'm trying to think about it from you talked about being technically proficient, and that makes sense if you're like someone in our world who's going and working on an air conditioner or whatever. But there's also business owners like, you know, Chad's skill was business, right? Or leadership. He's a good leader who never turned a wrench. He's not technically proficient.
I have an eye for talent.
So it's like, how do you... Like you say, okay, well, I have like this plan for this person and I can recognize their talent and I could tell they gave their best, but fell short. Like, how do you keep on them to get better, but also keep them like motivated? You know what I'm saying? And not like.
Took me forever to learn. So notice we'll pivot a bit. Steve Jobs. Notice that people either loved him or hated him. And you'd get all these conflicting reports. Steve is a cast iron, blah, 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 blah. Or he's visionary. He's wonderful. I enjoyed every second working with him. And it's completely dependent upon the personality of the employee. So take a couple minutes and look at that first group of, I think it was 7 engineers, all hardcore self-starters. right? And so what does a self-starter do? So notice most people you hire, they're concerned about what are my vacation days? When's my next, when I get day off? What are my benefits? When's my next promotion? Compared to a guy who's going to come in and not just do everything you asked, but he's going above and beyond. So I had one of my students ended up being special projects for the president of Ticketmaster, right? And he's
small,
young.
Small little ticketing company.
Small little thing, right? And he's exhausted. And I'm with the family on vacation in Hawaii, cruising around through an art gallery, and the phone rings with Matt. And he's like, Coach, I got to bail. Can't take it. You know, it's late. It's this, it's that. And I said, dude, no. No. I said, you need to be not only the guy he looks to on this special project you're working on now, but you need to become his main guy in the next project. And if you can double dip right now, I want you to become his guy that he can't live without. I said, and you're not going to get paid for it. You're going to get worked to pieces. And you're young. That's exactly what you should be doing right now. And that's what he did. You know, because it has, the dues have to be paid. They have to be paid. So you're either going to do it when you're young, before you got the family and everything going on, a lot of responsibilities, or if you're coming to this later in life, sorry, I'm sorry you got a family. I'm sorry you're running the business. I'm sorry you have all these other things and you're going to have to do three things at once, but it's got to be paid, you know, and there's no escape from that. So, you know, the hardest, what I found is that if someone doesn't have that obsessive work ethic, they're not going to be successful at a world-class level. I think that's important. It doesn't mean they can't be successful locally, you know, a mom and pop shop, things like that. But, you know, if someone's aiming to be a real stud in their space, sorry, it's a 24/7 deal.
You know what, Chad, you know what this reminds me of when Chris is talking about this? I almost feel like I'm disrespecting you by not calling you coach. Okay. Make sure we're clear. Even though you weren't my coach, you've earned that title. You know, whenever Coach Saban was talking about the high achievers don't like mediocre play, like the high achieving players don't like the mediocre players. And you know, do you remember that whole thing? Mm-hmm. Like what he's talking about actually kind of makes me think about how you can still be a really freaking good player and play for Alabama football, which you have to be, right, to be recruited to D1 Alabama football. But yet he's still looking for the high achievers and the really good players. And that's what sets Alabama apart all these years. But he's building that into his team. Like that is his process. And so we had him to an event a few years ago, one of my events I put on, which is why he's up on the thing there. And I mean, greatest football coach ever. Right. And so it was just, I'm kind of like getting the same thing from you on, it's not about gymnastics. It's not about football. It's just about, this is what works for the human being. And everybody, it takes zero talent to take action, right? Like you don't have to have talent you just got to start to do something. But I think having a coach is good because not everybody has the gift to 100%. So like a lot of things that we'll have people on here who are like some of the most successful contractors in the home services space ever. And they all had coaches. It's just like Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods, a swing coach.
Well, someone pointed out to me, I was one of my daughters, Michael Jackson had a vocal coach.
And they can't be wrong, right? Like if the best are doing it, like you gotta have,
I couldn't train myself for high level because I get tired.
Yeah.
Right. For everything I know, I get tired. And so you need someone there to hold you accountable.
But isn't it fair that, I mean, if you're the one, like you specifically, and I'm going to attribute this to like being a leader in your business or even a manager of a team, you're holding yourself to a standard to do what's best for the person that you're coaching. And you have a plan, you have discipline, all the things that you've learned over all these years on how to sculpt this person to what you want it to be, right? This is what you're doing in gymnastics is the same thing at some level that anybody who's leading a human being should also be following, right?
100%. I used to get hassled all the time from Russian friends or national team coaches because I wouldn't just work with the best.
Can you speak Russian?
Little. So right now in our house, So I have a daughter we discovered late is talented with languages. And I was a Mandarin linguist for the military back when. So right now she's doing Latin, ancient Greek, Spanish, German, French, and we just tacked on Russian.
Hmm. Chad, how many languages do you know?
I barely know English.
I know, right?
Did you go to DLI?
I did.
Did you?
I did. I'm surprised you know DLI.
My daughter just graduated from there.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. What language?
Russian.
Okay. Yeah, I was there for Mandarin way back when.
Yeah, and then
it's a closed base now. I tried to take my family.
It's weird. I came say anything about her other than that. Yeah. Because
it's 8 hours a day. I'm sure Russian is similar to Mandarin. It was 47 weeks, 8 hours a day, native speakers.
The discipline in that, like, I didn't realize how much of a badass you are if you can graduate through DLI until I went to graduation and I listened and I was like, oh my God, like, she's in Texas doing more training.
Funny. I went to Texas.
Down in San Angelo.
Yep.
That's where she is.
An intelligence.
Yep.
Small world there. Two people from the same neighborhood.
How about that? Wow. Jesus. That's funny. And it's, you know, I had a retired admiral once, and he found out, you know, what I'd done in the military, and he kind of stopped. He was in a big room of military people. He stopped. He's like, dude, you're the rarest bird in the military. I was like, I appreciate that, sir, but no. He said, no, we can find SEALs. We can't find son of a guns like you. Because it requires such a high IQ, kind of with that practical and that other stuff, and they just can't get them. But, you know, as a young person, you don't know that. Yeah. You're just out having a good time. You don't know what you're capable of.
Coach, I got a question for you. Just because you have this experience with, like, ultra-high performers, like the best of the best, but, you know, in business – you don't have all high performers. You got maybe A, no. B's, and C's.
Not in athletics either.
Yeah. How do you balance that kind of, you know, I think probably the three of us, very driven, want to do all of this stuff. Like, how do you balance that mentality with maybe others that you know you need on the team and play a vital role, but they're not bought into that?
It's a really good question.
Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate from the first Google search to the driveway. Prolific brand design can help you be more of you because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific Brand Design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
It's a really good question. I started touching on it a little bit where my Russian friends, coaches would hassle me because I'll work with any level of athlete, but what I want is someone who just refuses to give up.
Regardless of talent.
I had one young, Ian's a pilot and a major in the Air Force right now, and I swear, and I give him crap all the time. I used to tell him, you know, I could have taught a kid in a wheelchair this before you, dude. Are you serious? But he had this wonderful family who they weren't concerned. They weren't. What's the word I want? They weren't concerned about placings. They weren't concerned of kind of the trappings of success. They were concerned about character and effort. And I was on board with that 100%. And so, gosh, I had him from, again, 5 or 6 till he graduated. And we still visit. And good Lord, he's an old fogey now. But I love that kind of person. And I think you need that in your business, too. You know, if you've got someone who's, if they're not high maintenance in that they need to learn things. You've got to help them acquire skills. But if they're high maintenance in that, you're constantly nudging them by their ass. Because it's never changing, because that's a core component of their personality and it's never getting better. So you know what? I was taught, be slow to hire, fast to fire. So, you know, if they're, and just, so a buddy of mine, you guys are, have a nice sized company, and a buddy of mine had built his to 150 mil. And what's interesting is Dan is a wonderful eye for talent, And that first location he had, out of that group of employees, eight of them went on to run locations for him. He had that good, and they crushed it. And now, of course, he's expanded, and I give him crap. I say, you've grown so much that you've outgrown your supply chain, because there just aren't that many studs. And so now he's at that point to where how do you maximize the effectiveness of the studs you have to give guidance for your people who, through no fault of their own, have lesser level of talent? Because you can't have lesser level of talent running your important areas. Or I had another friend who was running big medical service. I forget, he had 32,000 employees. And I asked Dave, you know, how many matter? He 7.
32,000, his answer was 7.
7. Because they're the ones that drive everything else. And then you hold those 7 accountable. And then if you've done your culture right, those 7 in turn hold their subordinates accountable. But the hard thing is, there always comes a point in growth to where, because you can't get enough great world-class talent, mediocrity starts creeping in, and mediocrity is protected by, and you've grown, so now there's bureaucracy, and bureaucracy loves mediocrity. So you need a degree of bureaucracy to survive, but it's also a little bit of your death now. And so how do you balance being efficient and growing without, now your vision's drifted, your quality's drifted. And it's a son of a gun. So, you know, the best answer I can give is hard chargers, you know, people who are just going to, the guy who's first in the office and last to leave, I'm going to be watching him. I'm going to be watching him. And the guy who, so like me, I'm the worst, if you're a regular guy, I'm the worst employee in the world. I will just drive you effing insane. Because I'm gonna be all over everything. I'm going to work like crazy. And I'm constantly going to be bringing refinements. Maybe even, and I'm not shy if the owner's dropping the ball. I'm in there hassling the owner. Hey, we could be doing this.
You don't strike me as that kind of guy.
But on the other hand, if you are lucky enough to have that personality type and you're working for someone who's a hard charger, that's what Steve Jobs was good at. Right, very abrasive personality, but a really good eye for talent. Right, and then those guys love working for him because he's going to cut them loose because he's going to hate micromanaging them. Right, which of course, someone who they're going to expand into that role, they're going to love it. So we don't like limits because everybody knows who's built a business up to reasonable success. What one of the obstacles is everyone around you questioning, who do you think you are? Know your, basically, it boils down to know your place. Know your place, because very few people outgrow what they were born into in terms of socioeconomic status. Right? You're born into a certain level of society, and that's where you stay. You behave this way. You consume this way. You're educated this way. You work these kind of jobs. You marry this kind of woman. You raise these kind of kids. And when you start expanding out of that, people are going to resent that. I didn't have that. My wife and I didn't have that. As we worked, we were always like, that's awesome. We were never jealous. We weren't envious. We're like, teach me. Teach me. But your regular people, they want the illusion of excellence because it protects this kind of fake self-esteem they have. You, in order to move forward, you got to accept the fact I'm less than I want to be. So that means then I have to go and I have to ask questions that make me look stupid. I have to admit I'm ignorant. Okay, whatever. Because as that national team was really good for that, because I can't go to Olympic trials. No one cares if I think I'm awesome. They don't care in the slightest. What product did I put out on the floor? Did we win? Did we not win? Did we make team? Did we not make team? Boom, done, it's over. There's no marketing, doesn't matter. Right? Being brash doesn't matter. Trying to be over the top doesn't matter. None of those things matter. It's, are you excellent at what you do? Yes or no? And now I went into the fitness industry where 99% of it is all bullshit. Right? It's people running around saying, I had a vision. I had a visitation from the Lord. He's given me this new training protocol. It's the best thing ever. And people will go, wow, that guy's really confident. We should, instead of, have you verified this guy? So his job before this was what? He was a stock boy at Circle K. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to this guy.
It's a 22-year-old life coach. Yeah.
Thank you. That drives me crazy. Or the people who... I do like how the algorithm right now is pivoting to where we went through a period where the algorithm measured by how much views and how much reach you had. And so you had people who were basically, they were just plagiarists, right? And they would go and they could have nice video production, do all these things, but it's no longer rewarded. Now it's, you know, they're trying to pivot to, are you a personal brand, but they have nothing, they have no expertise to market.
Yeah, no real substance to it.
There's no substance. Yeah. And so I think, especially for your audience, you know, for those of them who are really good at what they're doing, that's first and foremost, most important, 100%, 100%. And so the other stuff to me is, so the founder of Orange Theory is a friend of mine. And we had helped Dave with some, he's insane. So I found out the hard way that intermediate slopes at Jackson Hole are not the same as intermediate here in Arizona.
Oh, we were talking about that, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's weird. When I was in Montana, we were talking about that.
My daughter and I go up and this, it's just this vertical drive. It's intermediate. And I'm looking down. I'm like, I'm a gymnast. No, no. And so my daughter and I are getting ready to get back on the gondola, and this woman gets off with these two little, like, 4 and 5 year olds, and they come to the edge and they jump off and they go down. I'm like,
oh, now what?
Oh, wow. My testosterone just dropped 10 points from seeing this. So I had testosterone poisoning and I went over the edge. Major mistake. Man, it took me so long to get down there.
Were you plowing?
I was falling, and they were all up on the edge. And the very first thing I do is I wipe out like 10 feet from the lip. And they're all, are you okay? And I, here I am, a national team coach going, well, I just really want to die right
now. Get the little six-year-old trying to help you up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all stopping. Are you okay, sir? I was like,
very humbling moment.
Monstrously humbling. But what Dave had done for us is because, so he loves snowboarding and, I'm not talking out of turn, and surfing. And so Dave was concerned he was getting to the age where he couldn't enjoy those activities anymore. And so then he helped us a lot, helped me a lot with business development. He was like, hey, I'm an open book, dude. Anything you want. Anything you want. And so then he hooked us up with his marketing company. And we're, as you can imagine, we're great clients and we're horrible. Right, because everything has to make sense. I want to know the where and the why. Where they don't want that, because you guys already know most businesses are gone in a few years, right? 3 to 5 years, they're gone, and so their business model is set up on that. So they just got to get you going along for 3 to 5 years till you're out of business and move on. don't ask questions, and they'll give you meaningless metrics, right? And so I sent all my senior staff out to their headquarters, or have showed up at this marketing company, and they're spending a week out there, and they want to know the where and the whys. And we squoze them dry in 2 months because there just wasn't really much to learn. And so kind of the same approach we had done in gymnastics, in that, you know, if someone's great, I'll overpay for excellent service, 100%, just to make sure they're around. But if I'm getting conned, right, we're gone. We're gone. And so, especially someone who's in a service industry, you know, your customers, if you're providing excellent service, like I don't believe in commodity pricing at all. I'm not going to argue that I can go a nickel cheaper than the guy down the road. You want world-class service, you want a world-class product, you have to pay a world-class price. You have to. Right? It's just, you know, and if you can't, then you can't have this level of service. You just can't. And so, you know, for your people who are out there, if you need to be able to charge a premium, and in order to charge a premium, you have to offer a premium value.
Can't just say it.
Can't just say
you
it.
Gotta do it.
And I see a lot of people who they immediately, well, like you said, I'm a life coach. I'm 22. I've never done anything in my life, right? Why would I take advice from someone of how to become a millionaire who's not a millionaire?
But I graduated college.
It kills me. It kills me. And
I was the social chair for my fraternity, coach. It's got to stand for something.
Yeah. When we run into it all constantly. And I think what it is it's your wannabes who are most susceptible to that. They've never been successful. They don't know what to look for, and they're not humble enough. As hard charging as I am, when it comes to skills and that, I'm humble. I don't know. I'm gonna shut up. Right. The last thing I want to do is step on someone's toes who's sharing world class experience with me. Right. I'm yes, sir. No, sir. You tell me what to do. You tell me how hard to do it, how long to do it, how often to do it. That's what's happening.
And if I do that, it takes me here because you've got an idea of where you what you're trying to go.
Yeah. But I got a call from, I won't share the name, but he's a billionaire who runs a big hedge fund, right? I'll share the name, first name Mark. And
does last name rhyme with Ruben?
No, that would have been interesting. But so I got a billionaire who wants me to come out and do a private seminar for him. What do you charge a billionaire? I have no idea. So I call Tim. And Tim says, okay, you're going to charge him $25,000 for the weekend. And you're going to let him talk. He's going to talk you down to 20. Son of a gun, if that isn't exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And so I go out. We do the seminar. He's a super sharp guy. I learned a lot. In fact, I learned so much from the being in that environment, talking business around the training, I never turned in my invoice. I never even turned in the 20,000. And I think I came out ahead, right? But here was someone, you know, is billionaire, world class. You can't get access to that kind of information.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you think, Tim Ferriss wrote The 4-Day Workweek. Was that his book?
Yeah.
That was Tim, right? Tim Ferriss. You heard that book,
yeah,
Chad?
Yeah, I have it at home. And then he wrote the, what was it? Four-hour body or something body.
4-hour body, yeah. 4-hour shift, tools of titans.
Yeah, that's great.
I got a couple chapters.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
I got a couple chapters in there. I was busy torturing Tim as he was writing that. I think he's working on another one now too.
Well, you had a book.
Sure. Worst mistake I ever made.
Building the gymnastic body. That's what it was.
I made a ton of money off that. But knowing what I know now, I should have restricted that information to a membership service. And I would have. So that podcast that I did with Tim was my first $1 million month. Right. If I'd have known then what I know now, that would have been my first $15 million.
Ouch. Yep.
And so I went back and I ran the numbers over the years, and I was like, I lost 200 million.
Well, don't think about that, okay?
All the time. I'll be at home with a cider going, hey. My wife's, you're thinking about it again, aren't you? Said, no.
Hey, coach, listen, I'm going to give you some good coaching right now, okay? The windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason, okay? Sure. The future, all right? It's the bigger window as you're moving forward. I stole that from Jelly Roll, by the way.
Stole that from Jelly Roll.
I like that a lot. Oh, my. I'm not sure about the source, but I like that a lot.
I'm certain he stole it from somebody else, okay? But it makes sense.
100%. I mentioned earlier that I had terminal cancer, and it was to the point where here's some oxy. Good luck to you.
How long ago was this?
I was diagnosed in April of 19, and then that doctor told me if I didn't have surgery the next week, I'd be dead in 6 weeks.
What?
In front of my wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's shitty.
I don't know why I never share his name. I should share his name and embarrass him and run him out of town. But total, well, I won't describe him. This could be a family show, so we won't.
It's not really a family show.
Yeah, we threw that out the window a long time ago.
We have a bunch of contractors, Coach.
With military and national team, get a little salty.
Gotcha.
But it went from stage two to stage four. And then in December of that year, the tumor melted. Just gone.
Wow.
And I'm supposed to be all kinds of effed up. I'm not supposed to be able to eat, talk, drink. I'm just supposed to be. And it just went. But not doing pity party, but what that left me with was I already had a low tolerance for BS. And so after that, I had even less. And so now I'm interested in doing what I want to do. I'm interested in good quality. I'm interested in surrounding people, myself with people I find interesting.
Yep.
That I can learn from. And I'm just not willing. I wasn't willing to settle before. And now it's like a religion. I'm not interested.
And you're how old today?
62.
62. Well, good for you that panned out.
Yeah, right. I think it's because I'm annoying and there just wasn't room in heaven for me yet.
You got more work to do, man.
I could end up being the wandering Jew. I could be here for who knows how long.
The Wandering Jew. Maybe there's your next book.
Yep, The Wandering Jew. Coach has been on Earth for 2,000 years. There's no room.
He's a hard son of a bitch.
He just won't go away.
No, God won't let me in. He's like, he's annoying.
He's like, not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Stay out.
Hey, Chad, I want to make sure I'm being cognizant of your time too, bro, because you got to bail out in about five minutes or so. I have just one last question I want to ask Coach too before we wrap, and it's around and I've experienced this. I'm sure you probably have too, but the difference between being a boss and a coach, what kind of leader are you? Are you a dictator? Are you an influencer type of leader? Like, there's different types of leadership that people respond to. I believe most people lead towards being influential. Maybe that's not the right word. I don't like telling somebody what to do versus kind of coaching them through what to do. To me, feels better. I think there's a time to be direct, but I don't think I've got it all figured out. All I know is this is how I would like to be led. And I'll lead that way. But the difference between being a boss and a coach, and like how can a business owner shift into a coaching role to lead more effectively? In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Can't teach what you don't know. So first they have to grow. Because I see a lot of people who are trying to, you know, fake it till you make it. And that's fine on a personal level, but your staff know if you're full of shit. They may not know right away, but it's eventually going to come clear.
And then you're in trouble because now you've lost a little trust. You've lost.
In a perfect world, you've hired people who are brighter and sharper than you are. Right? And it's your job to be the heart and soul. Right? This is who we're trying to be. This is what we're about. And it's not just about talent. You know, we get programmers coming in, and first, when you have an interview, first thing we would do is give a skills test. Here's a coding exam. People would lose their mind. Sorry, dude, but I need to know you're proficient before we go any further. And that's usually they want to do that last. And of course, we learned that the hard way because everyone's full of shit, right? Yeah, they have to be able to demonstrate proficiency.
And what gets measured gets managed.
100%. And so
you got to know what you're working with.
Like a hard lesson I did, I hate micromanaging. Hate it more than anything in the sun. But at the same time, I use this in my own head all the time, they'll only respect what you inspect. So, you know, there's got to be that line. I can't just cut them loose, right? Unless they're just insane like I am, or they're going to do it anyway. Most people, you're going to have to drop by and just kind of see. And are you proficient? So I can manage programmers, no issue, even though I don't program. Because I had enough of them for long enough that I know when they're bullshitting me, right? And I know that a programmer likes to work for 6 months and then it's broke. And then he wants to go back for 6 months and look for bugs. And so I put in place and they hated this. Oh, the coach, you're not. I hear it. Who signed that check? We're doing this my way. So every day you program, you're going to check it and make sure it works today. You're going to put it in the sandbox and you're going to kick the tires and make sure it's right. And then tomorrow we're moving forward. Oh, they hated that. They just hated it. Because some of your higher level technicians, they use that to their advantage to be lazy. Right? So you're paying for 8 hours of work and maybe you got an hour and a half. And so you just have to learn how to hold them accountable so that they respect when you inspect. You know, you sit down at the end of the day, what'd you do? Well, I wrote this really cool game for an app. No, sorry, dude, that ain't good. That's not what I paid you for.
Missed the job, missed the task.
Well, you have to have people that you want to coach. Are they worth your time to coach? Because if you think about it, this is going to sound kind of stupid coming from someone who's a national team coach for almost 40 years, but coaching has to be one of the dumbest jobs on the planet. I mean, think about it. I poured 16,000 hours into Allen. That's one athlete. What if I had poured 16,000 hours into me? So you're pouring time and effort into developing other people's excellence. Now, I learned a lot with it. So then what it becomes is, it's not that you're not going to do that. Is, are the people you're pouring your heart and soul into worth that effort? And if they're not, don't do it. I mean, it's literally that black and white. If they're not, don't do it. Get someone else.
I didn't really think about the timing you put into someone else versus yourself.
Sure.
Every day. It's wild.
100%,
because employees leave. And that's okay, because you want them to grow, right? Because their success, if they've been prepped right, their success should be a reflection of your success, right? Because you want, just like your kids, you want them to exceed what you've accomplished. But if you've chosen the right people, they'll respect that. And they'll always come back and say, hey, I appreciate the opportunities you gave, rather than you chose poorly someone without ethics or character. And now it's backstabs, backtalking. It's all, you know, the negative things we all hate.
Yep.
So, you know, going back to choose carefully.
Chad, I got one final thought question. It's a banger.
Go for your banger.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry, buddy. I didn't really let you talk a whole lot in this episode, but I had a whole bunch of questions I didn't get to. Okay, coach, last question. All right.
If we do this in an hour and 15, it'd be like my shortest one ever.
Well, we have to be at least cautious with time frames on this type of a podcast. So an hour and 15 for us is like a long episode, which is, I mean, we're usually like around an hour or something like that. So not like super long. If you were coaching a home service company right now, an owner of a home service company right now, the same way you coach like a young gymnast, what would be the first thing you'd focus on to get them to world-class?
Basics. So I had a friend of mine is, I'm not sure how Zillow's set up, but the guys who are in charge of like Arizona Zillow, they're one of the partners is a good friend of mine. And he said, hey, you know, George really wants to sit down with you for lunch. And so I love talking this stuff. And so he was kind of waiting for tricks and tips and this and that. And the first question I asked him is, are you guys the best realtors in the country? He's like, well, I don't understand what that means. Like, are you the best? Really simple question. Are you the best? Yes or no? And he said, well, no. And I said, why not? Why not? I said, it's one thing to be able to deliver a product and all the different revenue streams and funnels. But I said, if your product's not the best, does it matter? If your product's the best, you're always going to get rewarded. If you have a world-class product, my opinion, you have a world-class product, you're always going to receive world-class compensation. Always. So to my mind, instead of having a substandard product and running around and putting coats of paint on it and singing songs and fireworks and then delivering the substandard product, have the best, be the best you can be in your space. Just the best. Just the best. And then everything else to me is secondary.
I mean, how do you quantify that? How do you quantify being the best?
I'm going to look at who's the best performer right now. So you got to choose your metrics. So a friend of mine, their goal is to be the largest classical education provider in the United States. Okay, that's fine. But that, if you guys are young, you're not going to remember, but back in the 90s, Toyota wanted to be both the best and the largest. And it ended up with a massive multi-million vehicle recall. And they never recovered. Because prior to that, Toyotas were just rock solid, right? I listened to the president of Toyota North America, and I just listened to the Ford president speak, and they asked him, what's an acceptable degree of failure coming off the line? And he said, 10%. If 10% of the cars roll out of the factory and have an issue, we're okay with that. We'll address it at the dealer. And then they asked the president of North America Toyota, what's acceptable? And he said, one. What's not acceptable? He said, one. He said, 1%? He said, no. One vehicle coming off the line that's bad is unacceptable. But where Toyota got in trouble is they tried to do two opposite things at once. You can't be the best and the largest. Like you could never have as many. Porsche can't sell as many vehicles as Ford. Can't be done.
Right.
Not to maintain quality. So kind of that same thing, you know, in your space, who's the best at what you do as far now? You don't have to have, you might mess up and choose someone who's not the best, but it's the best you can figure out right now. And then you keep growing. So like when I decided I'm sitting the U.S. Olympic team in 1988 in our gym, they're training for a week before they go to Korea. And I'm young. I'm sitting on the stairs watching. I'm like, youthful arrogance. Well, this is no big deal. I got this. And I'd already been mentored for some years with a national team coach. But what occurred to me was, I don't care who the best in my city is. I don't care who the best in the state is. I don't care who's best in the region. I don't care who's best in the country. I don't care. I care who's best in the world. That's who I'm going to model myself after. Because if I model myself after him and I come close, I've automatically outperformed all those levels underneath. Whereas if I do the local guy, maybe that only applies right now. And now I've got to, I learned something. I got to set it aside. It's no longer appropriate. And now I got to learn a new skill set. But if I just go right from the top, I learn one skill set. And now instead of having to learn, that's what I tried to explain to Tim. He's like, it's really, really hard, coach. How do I train every day? How do I do this? I said, well, if every day is a new decision, that means in a year you had to make 365 decisions. What are the odds that you're always going to make the right decision? Zero. So you make one decision. I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. You make one decision. And he says, well, how long will it take? I said, who cares?
As long as it needs to.
As it takes.
Sorry. As
it takes.
Sounds so simple.
It's simple, but simple doesn't mean easy.
Yeah. Yep. Before I close, do you have anything else you want to ask Coach?
I can't thank you enough for your time. I did not play athletics at a world-class level, but I played them all my life, even through college. And
I was going to say up through college, that was one of the reasons I wanted to come in, because you guys both had athletic background and speak to
the coach. And like, I compare so much of what we do. I was a football player, and I'm always like telling our team, like, this is just like a football team. If the dispatcher doesn't do her job, if she's playing, you know, outside linebacker and you're the safety and the dispatcher doesn't do their job, you're not going to be able to do yours. And everybody's got to do their individual 100%. Part on the team. And sometimes that could be offense and defense. Someone's not even on the field and they've got to hope that someone else does their job and so on and so forth. And so for your perspective on, you know, training, you know, some of maybe our country's most decorated incredible athletes to be able to put that much time and effort in there, to know that you were leading them, I can understand why they were good. So I appreciate your time and insights. And I apologize that you will have to live closer to Chris here in the short term. So
he's going to be doing construction next year.
I know, right?
And
going to be doing a little bit of construction next to your house, coach. I apologize right now.
And it's like solid granite, so it's going to be so loud.
I apologize again already.
I'll be camping in your backyard. Yeah. Get away from it.
But when it's done, you'll be able to enjoy it as well.
I appreciate you doing it, because it's going to put my property.
It's certainly going to raise your value. Yes, it is. It's going to. So you're welcome. You're welcome. So listen, coach, you're going to have to endure a little bit. Okay. There's going to be this period of time.
Here's where we're looking to get. It's just going to take 3 years to get there. So we'll battle together.
That's true. That's God good you it. Said 3 years, because Chris said two.
It's actually,
which always means three.
It was actually three. But now we're down to two. We're supposed to break ground at the end of the year. So
I thought you were going to break ground in the spring. We're supposed to push back again.
Supposed to. Yep. Didn't happen.
See, God was on my side. He knew I didn't want a loud summer.
We're trying not to ruin everybody's summer. Okay. Listen, it was, I'm glad we finally made it happen, you know, and I still got to get you over to the house too. You know, which seems like that should be pretty easy, but maybe you're as busy as I am too. I feel like I pass you enough, but I don't actually get to connect with you. But I'm glad to finally get you in here too, and to share with all of our listeners. You know, I mean, it's a bunch of, you know, contractors, you know, just trying to get better. That's why I listen to this podcast, and, you know, some of the really good ones look outside of our world.
If I had to do it over again, I think I would have gone into your guys' space. I think there's tremendous opportunity for growth and wealth development. And I think you're going to see a lot of people coming into your space. I was always academically oriented, but there's kind of a glass ceiling there. You know, we all make way more money than a neurosurgeon, you know, unless he owns a big practice in that. So I think, and your guys' services and the people you're representing, they're essential. You know, it's not like, well, toilet's broke, I'm not calling the plumber. No, you're calling them. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens there over the next few years.
Well, I hope you're right. We all hope you're right. I'm learning that. I mean, you did come from intelligence, right? Okay, so like, okay.
I called it. What's going on in China right now 20 years ago, and they all said, Coach, no, and I will go on the economics and the resources and everything, but I was like, no, it's a paper tiger. It's in real.
Well, I believe you when you say it, because I feel like you've done your due diligence and to understand. Well, and just coming in here, you know, and beyond, you know, to giving us the time and pouring into, you know, our listeners and these contractors, it means a lot. It might seem like this isn't that big of a deal. It's a pretty big deal. I like for them to be able to hear other people's perspectives from outside of our like sphere, our industry. So it's good to hear and then say, oh, actually, this makes so much sense. I see how the two come together. It's discipline. It's training. It's being a good coach to your teammates. It's constantly learning. It's finding the end goal and working the plan back and then not deviating from that and coming up with one excuse, which is the hardest, and the second excuse gets a little bit easier. So like all this stuff is applicable. It's just nice to hear it from these different perspectives for these guys to hopefully, you know, apply to the business.
You look for core principles that are universally applicable in all areas. That's when you know that you've really gone onto something.
In every facet of your life. Love it. Sounds like a great spot to close her out then to me. So, Chad, I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you staying late for us. I think this was well worth it to spend some time with Coach. And Coach, for you, I appreciate you coming down here. And to our listeners, listen, he was on the Tim Ferriss podcast. If you just go on Apple and check it out, you can listen to his episode. It's like really long. I had to listen to it in chunks.
It's long. And then my guys, I got chewed out today because they found out I was coming on the podcast. I'm like, Coach, you didn't give them pesos. I'll give you guys some basic stuff for our stuff that.
We'll make sure to get you all hooked up, and we'll create a bunch of stuff for you too, clips and things like that. But we appreciate your time, and we'll give that stuff back to you to be able to use and kind of help with marketing and things like that. So to our listeners, as you know, got to do everything, but dang it, you got to do something, just like Coach says. Just be very methodical about what that something is. No, 0 days. Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.